Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, author Dennis Cuddy continues his series unveiling the plans of the power elite for global control. Friends, we continue to need your help. Historically, summertime giving is always slow, but this year, with the upcoming election and the economy, giving is at a critical level. Unfortunately, we're having to further cut expenses, including reducing the number of radio stations we are on and eliminating staff. In other words, we need your help. Would you please be praying for Southwest Radio Ministries? Would you please ask the Lord to provide the needed funds so that we can continue to proclaim the good news? And as you're led, please consider giving a gift to our summer relief effort. Your one-time and monthly gifts are needed this month. You can give when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Thank you, friends, for your prayers and financial support. Now, here's today's host, Micah Van Hus, with today's guest, author Dennis Cuddy.
Welcome to the program again today. I am your host, Micah Van Hus. I produce Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries, and today we are talking again with Dr. Dennis Cuddy about his book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. Now, when we left off yesterday, Dr. Cuddy was telling us about the experiments on children and creating twins with sex changes and eye colors in the womb in order to produce what the Nazis were trying to get at with the Aryan race. So, Dr. Cuddy, continue your thoughts from there, if you don't mind, sir.
Sure. Martin Bormann is the person I was talking about at that time. I put in my book, he's supposed to have died in 1946. And if he did, how come I have a picture of his joint bank account from the mid-60s with Juan Perón, the head of Argentina, that, you know, he didn't die? And so what you have is a situation where the Nazis would have, Bormann would have control of 750 corporations within just 2 years by the end of the war. And a lot of them would be in America. They would do it by getting 51% of patents, trademarks, you know, copyrights, and so forth. And they wouldn't own, you know, outright, but they'd have controlling interests. What they would do is have various people sent in what they called operations, like Operation Paperclip created rat lines. It was the means of the Nazis in various fields who we needed. You know, we didn't, you know, save all the Nazis, but like scientists would save some of them. We'd get from there to here, and we would use, we would figure like scientists. There was an operation to get scientists here. And we figured we needed to do that because we didn't want the Soviets. They were coming in. They were going to grab a lot of the scientists, but we didn't want them to have it. So we would get them. So Bedman, Operation Bedman. Now, Bedman was, we didn't want the head of Iran, who had his little mustache, and you'll see a picture of him in the book, named Mossadegh, to become a Nazi and have a lot of power. And we wanted to get rid of him because he had nationalized the oil companies, and we didn't like that, them nationalizing the oil, so we had to get rid of him. And so he was supporting Hitler. Hitler was very much admired by them, and so we were going to overthrow them. And because he was, you know, the oil is very important now and in the Second World War, too. What do you think the odds of a black physician just having to, I just got to go to Iran in the early 50s, right? That's, the odds are greatly against that. But Dr. Jarrett did, and his daughter was Valerie Jarrett. And Valerie Jarrett played a significant role later by coming back here and becoming the chief advisor to Barack Obama. Barack Obama was mixed up with Saul Alinsky, just like Hillary was. She wrote her senior thesis about Saul Alinsky, who at the front of this book, Rules for Radicals, has an acknowledgement to Satan. To Satan. He, you know, loves Satan and all that. What happened was, he didn't get any money as a community organizer. Barack Obama didn't. They had to have some money, right? So she got Michelle Obama, her big salary, do-nothing job in Chicago, right? So they had to have some money to support them. And Barack was doing nasty stuff and homosexual and smoking pot and all that stuff. And he really wasn't born in the U.S. either. So Valerie Jarrett was a key to that following through from the secret Nazi plan. But we didn't want to be blamed for it, right? So our CIA said, we will dress our people up in the party of this pro-Soviet. So all the Iranians said, oh, look at those nasty pro-Soviet to-the-party people talking about burning down our mosque. So we love the Americans, when it was actually us. We were actually doing the burning up and so forth and so on. As I said, Mille Lacs had given $2 million to Nixon, and Nixon would have, I want to emphasize again, he was not a Nazi, and Nelson Rockefeller was not a Nazi, but Nelson Rockefeller felt it was more in our interest to work with the Nazis than the communists. You know, the communists were the greater threat, according to Nelson. Nelson sort of snookered the Zionists. And so it was right after the war, and Bormann, when he established control of these companies, he told his people, be sure and hire some Jews. Now you think, that's crazy, Nazi take Jews. Why would he do that? He knew that the Jews were trying to send money to the Middle East, and Israel was being established. And so Nelson said, he left some incriminating papers around, the Dulles brothers did, so their sister Eleanor would find it. And she gave it to his Zionist friends, and she says, they say, all right, we got you, Nelson, we got you. And they say, oh, you got me, you're pretending to be shocked. And so, yeah, now you can get revenge against me and my corporate allies, because a lot of American corporate leaders were helping the Nazis in the 1930s. You know, the head of Bell Aeronautics or something, they would help them, their communication abilities. So he said, you can get revenge, or I can give you, because I'm in control, the American bloc in the UN for the U.S., I can give you Israel. You know, the votes will be there for Israel. And so they thought. So they said, okay, we want Israel, right? So now we have the establishment of Israel coming about. And you say, well, why would they want to do that? All right, because at the end of the plan, when the plan comes to fulfillment, which is today, which would you rather, if you're a Nazi, which would you rather have to do? Go to every little hamlet, you know, all over the place, all over the world, and kill Jews? Or would you rather have one central location, like Israel, so that all these Jews from all over the world would come there, and they would be surrounded by their sworn enemy, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas and Hezbollah, and you would just, as a Nazi, just sit back and laugh your head off as they killed each other? And if you look online, I wrote an article on News with Views about the October 6th attack, and I show in there how that attack is part of the secret Nazi plan coming to fulfillment. It's, like I said, it's a genius, a masterful plan. It's evil, but it really is ingenious. The best Nazis were transferred from the war effort to this effort, and they would go to two successive countries, like I said. Various Nazis played a key part. I mentioned Mengele, and Mengele got out disguised as a Jesuit. They actually had him arrested, but they held his ship for 2 weeks until he got out of prison so he could get on the ship and make it down to South America. And another one was Klaus Barbie, the butcher of Lyon, France. And his job was drugs around the world. So he would go down to South America and form a corridor going from the middle of South America up through Colombia and the cartels that we know today, and that was his job. Drugs for everybody. Now more drugs are coming from the... What they would do is say, okay, they wanted to control it. And so they did. The Nazis controlled this bank, but they made an American the president, the head of it, the Thomas McKittrick, so that all the members of the world, the banks, oh, we can trust the bank, the BIS, Bank for International Settlement. It's headed by an American. You know, what's the worry? When actually it was controlled by the Nazis. So the Nazis are having secret control of all these key elements, the countries, the corporations, the money, and you'll read about it. If you look at in my book, I show all the names and the people who are involved. And so what you would have is Paul Dickoff was with Heinrich Himmler. And so Dickoff right at the beginning of our involvement in the war, was sent to Switzerland. And he worked there with Dulles. With Dulles. And Himmler was sort of working with us, but through intermediaries. You know, he didn't pop up and say howdy to the Americans in the war effort. But through others, he had his right-hand man, sort of, Paul Dickoff, there, working with the Dulles brothers. Now, what was he doing that for? I mean, why would he do that? Because 26 years later, when Nixon is being elected, Dulles puts the word in, the good word in, for this Dickoff, so that the Jews would not, you know, object to him, to become head of Interpol. Interpol is the international police, so this put him in a strategic position, knowing where all the criminal elements of the world were operating, and if anybody was coming after his guys, these secret Nazi plans and secret Nazi guys doing their thing in, you know, Argentina or Iran or wherever it is. It's very, very intricate. And it's, like I said, it's an ingenious plan. And the public is clueless. I try to get this stuff out, and, you know, the press doesn't want to have anything to do with it. It just goes on because the press is controlled. You have the New York Times as a newspaper of record, you know, the newspaper of record. The New York Times covers up. They cover up a whole lot of stuff. And I will send them proof of the origin of COVID, proof, as well as the possible motives of those involved. You would think that would be newsworthy. No, they're going to keep that from you. So this stuff keeps going on and on and on. Now, obviously, you couldn't trust Hitler. But Hitler tried to make a pitch for the British to join with him. He called it Operation or Barbarossa. And that was that Hitler would hit England hard, but just for 2 weeks. Just for 2 weeks. And Hitler, remember, Churchill said, we will fight them on the beaches, we'll never surrender. Hitler, after the war, admitted if they continued one more, they would have had to surrender. But Hitler stopped. And the plan was that England would join with the Nazis and turn east fast to destroy the Soviets. Now, obviously, Churchill wasn't stupid. He knew he couldn't trust Hitler anyway. But there were these various operations going. There was one Bidman, Bloodstone, and so on. And when you look in the book, if you're interested in that, just look at my index. You'll see about 10, 11 different operations. So one of them would take care of scientists, getting them here, like Wernher von Braun, who was very much admired in the 60s and headed up our NASA program and so forth. He was an SS officer, you know, at Telemundo. They had an underground situation where they were developing heavy water and so forth that they had gotten from up around Norway. And so you would have these key individuals coming here. I think I may have mentioned the head of Bell Aeronautics was a member of the SS. But he walks around in this country looking like a respected scientist, a good old American guy. No, he was a bad old Nazi SS guy. But we allowed them to do their thing because it was to our advantage. So not every Nazi, I think you had just a handful, really, of the top Nazis who were executed at the end of the war. Plus, we wanted to reestablish Nazi industry. So the Krupp was a big manufacturer over the Nazis, right? So Krupp was put into prison for like a day, I'm kidding, but very short time. And then John J. McCoy, who I mentioned before, he would say, okay, you're free. Let's go. You know, that's your big time punishment for all the horror and people you killed. We're going to give you all your money back. So the Allies wanted to reestablish, because we were all these people, the power elite, remember, the power elite's really in control. They sit above governments. They wanted, for their fulfillment of their plan, certain people had to be in certain positions. And Henry Kissinger would decide a lot of that. He was a private stationed at Oberammergau. He was a protege of Nelson Rockefeller. And he would decide which Nazis we were going to protect and keep and which ones we weren't. Too bad they get executed and all that. But you have to recognize who's doing what. And it's all working together. All these plans and operations were coming together into the culmination of this one master plan, which was going on. But remember, you don't recognize them. They don't have any swastikas. They're not out there preaching, you know, Deutschland über alles. They look like a regular businessman or somebody who's become risen the corporate ladder, and he's now head of whatever, like the bank. Remember I mentioned the bank of Marseille, right? Nothing looks like it's strange. He just married the daughter of the president's bank, and now he, the Nazi, is head. See, and that would happen to all in newspapers. Labor unions do the same thing. They take over the labor union. They look like a regular guy, but they would really structure the newspapers to go along with this secret plan. And you will find neo-Nazis all over the place. That's not by accident. It's not by accident. Where I am in Raleigh, North Carolina, we had one guy, and he lived in East Raleigh, which is not friendly, would not be friendly to Nazis, but he lived there, right? And he wasn't disturbed. They left him alone. He assassinated the former head of the Nazi Party in the U.S. so he could get in this strategic position here. And so they, like I said, they would, part of this plan is killing certain individuals at key positions of power, protecting them so that they can be used in the fulfillment of this plan. And one guy, I think, was interested in my work a long time ago because he was like two doors down from me. And he would come over and snooping around my research material. And then when I mentioned, I said, when I had two different, one very liberal magazine, one very conservative magazine, I said, this is going to be tough for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you've now got to decide where I'm interested. You know, where am I going? Am I researching the liberals or researching and keep an eye on the conservatives? Right after that, he left. As soon as I let him know that I knew what he was doing, he lost interest. And I've been surveilled. I mentioned that in the last interview. It's the first chapter in my book, Conspiracy 2, and so on. And then there are powerful people who don't like me and my mother, what we're doing. So we were told we were planned for extermination. The mother put up a good fight. She was tough. And they tried to get me twice, but I was a little bit too knowledgeable, so I did not want to die at the time. Mm-hmm. Bowen, you have some questions?
Yes, sir. So today, a lot of folks, when we get into the politics of things, and it's very heated, one of my colleagues in the Tennessee House of Representatives, Bud Holsey, he's still serving for Sullivan County, Tennessee, he always said that both the Republicans and Democrats are moving towards socialism. It's just the Republicans are in the slow lane. And I found that to be true from my time in the state legislature, all the programs and things handing out. So in the vein of that question, there's a lot of folks who compare politicians to Nazis, and they compare political parties to Nazism. Do these folks here in America, do they know what they're talking about when they call people like Trump Hitler?
No, they don't know. There are disguises that are used. There was a woman who was head of the American Communist Party named Bella Dodd, and she was really into communism like that. But when she found out in the 1950s, late 50s, that the same people who were contributing to her, the Communist Party, were also contributing to the Nazis, she said, whoa, wait a minute, something's fishy here. And so she just got out and became, you know, a good old patriotic American again. There's also stuff that just happens and just disappears. You don't know what the heck happened. And one of them, there's a BBC production of something called Himmler's Castle. It's this sort of toward North Germany. And it's very occult. Hitler and all these guys were really into occult, weird stuff. And so in the castle, toward the end of the war, a secret American team got into Himmler's Castle. And it quickly found a secret vault, which even the commandant of the castle didn't know about. Now, the only way that could have happened is if Himmler had told them. And my guess is they got into there and got all the secret documents that showed Himmler had been working with us all the time anyway. So you have these people who, there's like a lot of cross currents. You think Himmler's an old man, and Himmler, he's a real tough Nazi and all that stuff. But actually, he was... One of the plans which was presented to him was 12 top Nazis, including him, he would be one of them, would have Hitler under house arrest, and then they would rule for a little while until elections could occur. But it fell through. It fell through. Because Hitler did find out about a couple of plans to assassinate. They hurt him real bad one time. So one officer put a briefcase or whatever by his chair in a meeting. And he walked out. The guy who put it there walked out, and boom, it explodes. And it hurt. It hurt him, but it didn't kill him. So he was lucky in that regard. You would have spies, I guess you would call them spies, on both sides. You would have Nazi spies here and American spies there. I mean, you watch what TV you want to, but sometimes I watch Hogan's Heroes because that it's presented as a humorous thing. But there's a lot of accuracy to that thing. The spies all over the place. It's interesting how they can get away with certain things. And you can only get away with it if you have dumbed the people down. And so what happened was part of the secret Nazi plan was based upon their development of certain chemicals. Like during the war, they had developed, we were supposedly going to have fluoride in the water. It was sold like that, you know. And if you asked them what fluoride, the people would say, oh, I guess it's sodium fluoride like in their toothpaste. But it wasn't. It was hydrofluorosilicic acid. That was developed deliberately by the Nazis to narcotize. Narcotize a part of the brain. I mean, fluoride in the water will kill you. But hydrofluorosilicic acid narcotized it, so it was narcotized part of the brain so that you were less resistant. They put it in the water of the Czechoslovakians, for example, so they would not be resisting the Nazis. Just before the entrance of America and the Allies into the war, the Czechs had a better army than the Nazis in the 30s. They could have given the Nazis, they might have even defeated. They had better tanks, better airplanes, and so Czechoslovakia could have put it. And so they asked for help. Did anybody want to help us? Nobody said, we want to help us. They said, well, we're not going to get killed for nothing. So they just surrendered to the Nazis. But war could have been averted in the late 30s. But everybody wanted to stay out of the war, and that's why you had to have the incident. You had to have Pearl Harbor. That would be the incident, you know, which we really knew about, and evil Franklin Roosevelt allowed it to happen, and those soldiers on the Arizona and the others slaughtered by not telling them what would happen. Then there are outcomes. There are outcomes from the secret Nazi plan in the war. So, for example, FDR would say, I have a lot of friends who are communists. He would just say that, I have friends who are communists. And so when Pearl Harbor was about to happen, you have various generals who are suddenly unavailable. You know, I'm riding my horse. I cannot be contacted. You know, so I can't be warned about these Nazi planes. The Japanese planes coming. So they did, it was a really thorough job of circuit, and you can only get away with this if the public has been dumb. And so I've written lots of books about it. I even had an unofficial offer to be U.S. Secretary of Education, how we've been dumbed down. And they have used nationally standardized tests. They adjust them, and they have them midpoint, the average going down, down, down. And so the child is able to answer fewer, but he's still above average because the majority, you know, more than 50% couldn't answer the questions right. So even though he's getting not 50 questions right out of 100, but he's only getting like 47 right, he appears to be above average when he's actually getting dumber. So that's sort of been planned too, to make the public dumb. There's a fellow named Bill Ivey, a top Democrat strategist, who wrote a email, which I have, to John Podesta, who was Hillary's campaign manager when she was running. And he says, he doesn't say, let's do it. He says, we've already done it. We've created an unaware and compliant citizenry. And just think about that for a minute. The American public is dumb, manipulable and dumb. And you don't notice it because it's affected everybody. You know, it's affected everybody. You know, it's like if you're in a little town and everybody's dumb, you don't notice that you're dumb because everybody else is dumb too. And that's all part of the overall plan, not just the Nazi plan, but, you know, the dialectical plan. You had to get rid of God, you know, wipe out morality, create the, through music and art and, you know, drama and dance, create a, an immoral people who will do anything. That's why you have a lot of politicians today and a lot of people in general exercising, you know, fornication, violating Galatians, and thinking nothing of it. I mean, the Bible says you fornicate, you go to hell. Apparently, everybody's okay with going to hell. I mean, how stupid do you have to be okay with that? Only when you've been dumbed down and your brain narcotized can that happen, and that's what's happened.
Folks, you've been listening to Dr. Dennis Cuddy talk about his book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. Dr. Cuddy, how can folks get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, I would suggest going through newswithviews.com, where my articles appear.
Awesome. And if you folks want to get a hold of The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan, you can do so at Southwest Radio Ministries by going to swrc.com, swrc.com, or call Southwest Radio Ministries at 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144. You can also get an audio CD of these programs with Dr. Cuddy by going to the website or calling Southwest Radio Ministries.
Dennis Cuddy concludes his study of The Power Elite on our next program. This week, Southwest Radio Ministries and Watchmen on the Wall is featuring the Dennis Cuddy collection of resources. Choose from the 6 excellent books we have in stock from Dennis Cuddy. This collection of researched insight and analysis includes the titles Conspiracy 1 and 2, The Power Elite, Their History and Future, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan, The Road to Socialism and the New World Order, and finally, Mental Health, Education, and Social Control. These books will help you be informed on the Power Elite's ultimate plan for a world socialist government. Order the Dennis Cuddy collection of titles today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order these books on our website, swrc.com. Based on his years as a political and economic risk analyst, historian, and senior associate with the Department of Education, Dennis Cuddy's books delves deeply into the plans, plots, and schemes changing the culture, the country, and the world. Make sure you order today, 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Dennis Cuddy will conclude revealing the plans of the power elite for global control. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our free SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.